The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, coming to your cordless, everybody. I don't know if you caught that in the introduction. It says this is a program. We'll see. It's Monday, January 29th, 2024. It's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 minutes after 2 in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and here in Northeast Minneapolis, it's 2 minutes after 10 p.m. Central Time. I'm Jim Peters. Welcome to another edition of Jim Peters and Knight. This is show 79. It's also our 6 month anniversary today. And man, do we have a show for you. The month in review panel has been assembled. They're coming on in just a second. It's very exciting. I'm just like, I got this warm kind of feeling in my pants and nothing's running down my leg. I don't kind of believe it. Anyway, we'll talk to them in a minute. Got a few announcements I got to make here. First of all, our program is sponsored by Conk News at conk.com, C-O-N-K.com. Now, normally, I would put a logo up right now, and I would run I would show you their front page sometime during the middle of the program. We're having problems with our video queue tonight, and I can't do that. But anyway, you should check this out. It's the single best news aggregator on the web, period. Absolutely. 75 sources. They update it every 3 hours. It's all chronologically ordered. In 3 hours, it all changes. And the three guys you're going to meet in just a moment here, we all met there. So I'm just talking, and Jeff Meyer wants to say hi. he owns that thing. So check that out when you get a chance. CONK.com, Conk.com, Conk News. So tonight, we got the month in review panel, Tim Conaway, Don Zorro, Larry Newman. So we're taking the week off starting tomorrow, a week. We're coming back on Tuesday, February 6th. But we're doing kind of a pop-up show on Friday night. Now, I can't remember if we actually did one last year or if I was thinking about doing one. I can't remember. I don't know if we've ever done a Friday show or not. I might have done one as an experiment, but I actually can't remember. But anyway, we're doing a Friday show this coming Friday. That's February 2nd. It's Groundhog Day. I'm gonna call it Ground Cat Day. So you can stick your cat in a grinder. So and then tell me what the weather is. So there's gonna be no guests for the show. And I'll be honest, we're doing it to try out a bunch of new technology. And you'll hear about that on Friday. So I'm not gonna talk about it right now. So at any rate, yeah. So that's what's going on there. So we're coming back, other than that, on Tuesday, February 6th. Get your shit together, Jim. Talk here. It's like it's a talking medium. That's what we're doing. So that's what's going on in this end. So now I'm going to play the 12-second bumper because I have a whole bunch of buttons I have to push, and magically the month in review panel will appear. Here we go. Oh, yes, there they are. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Conaway, talk.
Oh, hello.
Okay.
Good to see you guys.
Oh, yeah, and Don, talk. We can't hear you.
That's because I'm muted.
That's right. That's right. That's the reason. That's the reason you're muted. You got some really cool lighting going on there.
The technology in this place is
something
far superior.
Yeah. So, well, I want to welcome
you. Good to see you guys.
Damn. It's nice to see you too, man. It is. Larry, you're very handsome.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I tell my wife that? Will you tell her? You know.
What was that? What?
Will you tell my wife that?
Yeah. No. I won't.
Hey, you know, hey, Larry, I was thinking about you because I have a rather wonderful import that I brought, but I can only bring one for myself, and it is for myself from a distant land about 90 miles off the coast of Florida. And
yes.
Let me tell you, I got that one percolating just beautifully. I spent a week in an undisclosed location, 90 miles off the coast of Florida, on business, because Don Zorro has to, every once in a while, do business.
Yeah, you got shit you got to do. I know. That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, God, it's good to see you. Hey, Tim, what's going on, babe?
Oh, the most wonderful winter since I've moved to this part of the country.
Well, that's right. When I was away, it was like 0-0-0 every day. Congratulations.
Yeah, winter's...
We had about a week of that, which is normal, but the rest of the winter has been like... there's no snow on the ground right now because the inch or two we had melted off, and it was 45 degrees when I came home from a meeting this afternoon, so...
Hey, you know, the last time that there was a significant lack of snow was a very important thing. You guys remember a movie called Airport back from the 1960s?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Late 90s.
They shot it here.
Right, exactly. They shot it here, and they shot it at the airport, except it was one of those winters. And again, this is back in like 1969, maybe 70 at the earliest, at the latest. And there was no snow, and they were counting on it because there's this big blizzard scene where the plane can't take off.
Right.
Except there was no snow in Minnesota in that year. And so they had to actually make and import snow so they could shoot the scenes at the Minneapolis International.
Oh, Don, when they shot Fargo here in town, the first scene was shot here in Northeast in the former King of Clubs bar, which has since been obliterated. But there was no snow for that either. They had to bring the snow making machines. There's no snow. We had no snow.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is that fits into the narrative of the global warming activists. And what I'm saying is this is back in the 1960s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was before being freaked out was fashionable.
Well, there was, you know, there is no global warming. I don't have to tell you that, do I? No. Actually, no, that's not true. There's warming. There's just no climate change. No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. Right. There is warming. And Larry, you might be interested to know I was reading on Red State. I think it was Red State last night. There was a guy wrote an article about a Bigfoot sighting, and he said, well, no one saw Bigfoot because Bigfoot doesn't exist. I thought, okay, fine. All right.
Okay.
Whatever you say.
Thousands of people that saw one last
That's right. That's right. And I don't know if I had Mark Marcel on last week, Larry. I don't know if he was the Bigfoot Hunter of the Year from Global Time. Fascinating interview. It was fantastic. It was terrific. Go ahead.
Not important.
What you have to say is important.
I'm going to interrupt your Bigfoot discussion to tell you that this thing is bumming me out.
I spent
a lot of time on this.
No. Hold on, just a second. I will get rid of it. Hold on. I was meaning to do that anyway.
Hey, there you go.
Cover your head.
Yeah, no. So let's actually point out to people now. Actually, I don't want people to actually call in tonight, but you can text us real time, and I got the text thing running right here. Yeah, 408-458-5088. You have any questions for the panel? You don't want to tell us we're full of crap? You know, whatever. You can text us, and I see it. And some guy texted me during Mark's interview, and I did not see it. I don't believe it. I actually got to answer him back. It's like not good, not good at all. Hey, Tim, can you move your microphone a little closer to your face? Because we can understand you, but it kind of sounds like you're in a bathtub.
To the face, yeah. I don't know why I'm getting this kind of echo thing tonight. I tried to fool with it, but it's technological stuff. And so let's see. I can.
Well, if you were somewhere else game. Other than a bathroom, it might help.
That's the only place I'm allowed to talk to anyone.
You know, interesting.
Well, it's we can't understand you, Tim, so that's fine. I mean, you know, it's like not that big a deal. So
So I've been on to you, Mrs. Zorro just came in and kind of told me to pipe down.
Oh, well.
So I feel your pain.
Yeah. You have any cats in the house, Don?
Lots of pussy, but no cats.
No. Oh, my God. You said that.
What, your filthy mind?
Me. That's right. It's not you. It's me. I'm the problem. That's right. Well, all right. I got a bunch of topics for conversation here. Let's just plow through right through them. First thing,
speaking of plowing through.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes.
Conaway used to edit the Beaver Hunt.
That's true. Tim, are you drinking the same water that they are?
I'll show you what kind of water I'm drinking later. I promise.
Actually, you know something, Larry? I'm going to skip forward to another topic before we even talk. Before we even start here, because what's going on in the Missouri legislature? Are you following this?
Well, specifically, what are you talking about?
Oh, that the Republicans are at each other's throats?
I've been doing that for quite a while, and it's an election year.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they're going to be at each other.
And why are they fighting among each other?
They're politicians.
That's right. Okay. All right. You answered the question. All right. Very good. Very good. So my first thing I want to talk about here is the border, the thing going on at the border now. Supposedly there's 700,000 truckers heading toward the southern border of the U.S. right now. And a lot of people are concerned that this is going to turn into another January 6th type thing. But here's my deal with this. So January 6th, they interrupted a legal proceeding. Right now, you got a bunch of guys who want to interrupt an illegal proceeding, you know? Oh, did I hit the nail on the head, Don?
You absolutely did. I mean, this is the wonderful irony of this particular move. I mean, I wish to hell that I could see it. Can you imagine what that caravan, speaking of caravans, the irony alarms are just sounding in every respect. Just, you know, imagine a time where we're living, where we actually have to fight to have our government observe the law.
Yeah.
I mean, and this, look, this is what the founding fathers were talking about. When the government goes rogue, the people have to act. It's what happened, you know. Well, I don't know that it happened in January 6th. People were very displeased with what happens. You know, I think it would be a stretch to say that the government was responsible. You know, if anything went wrong, I would go more with individuals. But be that as it may.
Oh well, same here.
This is what we were set up to be able to do. The government is supposed to be afraid of us.
Yes.
Not the other way around.
And also, just to fortify what you were saying there, I don't hold anybody particularly guilty for what happened at January 6th either, even though it was definitely a riot. But the argument could be made and is made that there was a legal proceeding going on, and they were attempting to interrupt it. Here you have something that's clearly going on that's clearly illegal, and they're trying to stop it. You know, so I mean, I don't see, there's no, my fear is that the liberals are going to try to make this into some sort of analogy, and I don't think any analogy holds here. I don't.
No, there's no analogy there. January 6th, let's be clear on that, that the security opened the door and allowed the people in. And once they were in, then the confrontation started. And the Democrats in charge at that time, I'm sorry, but I mean, it's becoming quite obvious they orchestrated that to make a riot out of.
Yes, I agree.
And to make it look like that there was a riot and that they were the victims when they orchestrated it.
I mean, it's funny.
This is no comparison. They're going to the border to protect our country.
So, it's funny, yeah. When it comes to forcing an issue like FDR did with getting us into the Second World War, not that that was a bad thing, but my point is that he needed an excuse to be able to act. Well, this is like they said, okay, let's make sure that these guys have every access to the possibility of breaking some sort of law. So the Democrats, I think, have a good history of creating scenario where we wind up getting screwed. This is, I think, a different situation because I believe that are they going to Texas or Louisiana?
Texas, I think.
They're going to Texas. Okay. Yes. I think they will welcome them with open arms. And don't take me literally when I say arms. I'm saying I think that they'll say, yeah, go ahead and come on in. Just do us a favor and please be manageable. Don't create a situation where we have to wind up fighting a war on two fronts with the illegals and then also against
right.
Other Americans. So the best thing they can do is just form a line,
rather
than try and actually keep these people out. Just make a show of force. That would be the absolute best thing that could happen.
Now, supposedly the leaders of this movement, that's what they're trying to do. They're really, really stressing that people don't do anything violent, that they just show up, basically, like you said. But, Tim, you're running for president. Did you ever think the single biggest hypocrisy I see here, which I think might end up completely tanking the Biden candidacy, is that the government is suing the state of Texas to get them to stop trying to enforce the law. It's just the stupidest thing I've ever seen ever.
Yeah. Well, if the government were doing its job and doing it the right way, I mean, you're talking about an illegal activity. These people are crossing the border illegally, but then there's this process that's been set up to handle this. And of course, it's the process that is really the problem. The fact that people are being processed and given the benefit of the doubt on asylum and, then transported to U.S. cities and given aid. All that is where the problem is. If they just caught these people, all the people they caught at the border, they just sent them back across the border into Mexico and said, okay, Mexico, you let them get this far, you can keep them. Remember the last truckers convoy that we had was also a peaceful situation. Some outsiders tried to disrupt and cause some problems, but the convoy itself came off. And when I first saw the news about this, I thought, okay, these guys have it together now. They've been through this once before, it'll come out even better than it did before. But the state of Texas has the right to protect itself from foreign invasion. Any state on the border has the right to protect itself. And for the U.S. government to say, no, we're the only ones who could do it, and then, and then they're not doing anything.
No.
That's the kind of outright hypocrisy and the outright, bold-faced lies that we're getting from current administrations, and not just this one, but let's go back, four, five, six administrations. They lie to the general public, and they expect the general public to believe it because they're saying it. And it's gone to the point now where it's, I think, even the less than average intelligence it gets a feeling that they're being lied to. At least they're hip to that.
Yeah, well, the proof of that is, I'm changing the subject here, and I shouldn't because I don't really want to, but I'm going to just off of what you said. I mean, the other thing that's been happening the last couple of weeks is that there's mainstream media outlets that are going bankrupt left and right. I mean, I'm sure you guys have followed this.
Actually, no. I want to hear just a little bit about that, if you've got some good information.
Oh, yeah. So Sports Illustrated has folded. They're over. The LA Times laid off 20% of their staff. The Washington Post laid off, I think it was 12% of their staff, and they're bleeding $100 million a year. This goes on and on. So Business Insider is also about to file for bankruptcy. No one's watching any of this shit anymore or reading it.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
So who is doing well? Because whenever you have something like this, you've always got a small group that is doing well. What's your information on?
Okay, that? Who's doing well? Breitbart and Fox News. Fox News is crushing it. I mean, you know, and even if you don't like Fox News, that, you know, they're crushing it. That's all there is to it. They're the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It just occurred to me the other day. I was thinking, remember when we were growing up that CBS was the I put them back. There we are. Oh, and now Don, you moved. Yeah, it's like.
Hey. Hey. Yeah.
I'll get you that cigar. I won't do that anymore.
Anyway, yeah, there's the answer to your question, Don. It's like, yeah, and Breitbart's doing extremely well. They're doing well.
Well, then, okay. So let me just, since you brought this up, let me just say one thing. Add to that the fact that I, who scour the internet so that y'all don't have to, have been watching what has been going on with the black vote. And I recently saw an interview of folks in the Bronx, and they were all black. Maybe there might have been one Puerto Rican guy in there. There's a portion of the country now in the black demographic that is completely for Trump.
Yes.
And same thing has been happening, and this has been steady. And I called this about 2 years ago. I said, this is what I see, and it's going to continue, and it's just going to get worse. And now they're not only are they doing it's not on a feelings basis thing. They're all saying the same thing: our jobs are being taken away.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, now I don't know that any of them are willing to go in and pick strawberries for $5 an hour or whatever it is. But the point is now people are really starting to think a little bit more, whereas before it was completely emotional, completely just about whatever it was that their moms and dads did.
Yeah, and also to Tim's point, people kind of sort of like bought what the mainstream media was telling them 10 or 15 years ago. And now they're not, the reason I bring out the thing about all these bankruptcies, now they're not buying it. And they're not watching this stuff or reading this stuff, you know?
And I have seen a shift in some of the mainstream media coverage that is more skeptical of Biden and more skeptical of the policies, because they see the people that were going wholesale in that direction towards just being mouthpieces for the far left going into the tank. And, you know, some of these places are failing because the magazine business model changed a long time ago, and these people never figured out how to do that. Right. So some of it's business, but you know, a sports reporter who worked for Sports Illustrated, it was his first job, and he worked there a long time ago, appears occasionally on some of the sports talk shows on ESPN, and he was lamenting the loss of Sports Illustrated and putting it down to people who had bought it, who basically, you're saying they had no clue about their audience, no clue about sports, no clue about whatever was going on. They bought it and tried to turn it into, you know, a mouthpiece for something that didn't apply to the audience. So, you know, it's there are those things, too, that the people running these things think they can buy, it's the most popular sports publication in the world. They'll buy it and they'll use it to, shout their views. And it's like the audience doesn't give a shit about
it. But, Tim, you've been in media all their life. Isn't that just plain fucking stupid? I mean...
Well, these people don't know what they're doing. And it's like the people that were, running CNN before Liberty took it over. Liberty something else, there's two names joined to get Liberty Discovery, I think it is. But, they thought, well, we can make this a sounding board for stuff. The bigger the company, the more likely it is that the people at the top came up through the accounting department. They have no idea what the product is. They have no idea how to make the product. They have no idea of who the market is. They've got people around them who tell them things, but they don't listen to them because they've made a lot of money for the company, and that's how they got where they were. So they're smarter than the rest of these people. And they take a kind of a broad look at the thing and say, oh, this is, they look at TikTok and look how successful that is. Why don't we do like TikTok? Well, if you're not a social media platform for children, it's not going to work. But they don't know that. They don't think that through. They're not capable of doing that. So to me, a lot of these media failures are because the people in charge have no idea what it is they're in charge of. And they get past the point where they're just counting the beans. They don't know how to plant the beans, grow the beans, harvest the beans, package the beans. They don't recognize the bean.
Yeah, CNN's ratings are still going down. I mean, people think, well, they can't go any worse, and they are getting worse. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, the last I saw in prime time, they're only drawing about 500,000 people, which is, like, awful. I mean, that's terrible.
I'll tell you how bad it's getting. You know the latest target of the left of all things? Do you know who they're going after? PragerU.
Oh, of course they are.
And their little fun. No, but I mean, it's just so funny that now you have PragerU being talked about in the same breath as Fox and anything else that's conservative. But see, the thing is that I have rejected the idea that PragerU is a conservative outlet, because what they are about has always been about telling the truth about a particular issue, not slanting it to one side or the other, but just say, in fact, one of my favorite of these 5-minute videos is Bruce Hershenson talks about 5 minutes about the Vietnam War, and all he does is just cite exactly what happened.
Is this Prager himself?
No, he brings on various little guests to talk about a particular subject.
Uh-huh.
And so he's talking about Bruce Hershenson, who was around writing about the Vietnam War at the time when it was going on. And so he talks about it and he just says, this happened, this happened, this happened, and that's what happened. And so now the things that happened are now being said, well, obviously, if that's what you're going to take, if you're going to go on the side of truth, you must be a right winger, which, I'm ready to own that.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? It's like we're getting to the point where very, very basic facts are even debated. I mean,
exactly.
You know?
Well, what's a man and what's a woman? How about that?
Yeah, amazing? Really. I know. Or Leah Thompson.
Have you guys seen that movie? This movie that the Daily Wire came out with.
Oh, What Is a Woman?
No, the comedy flick.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it, no.
About the five guys.
Yeah, the basketball team.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It is actually, I thought it was going to be lame because usually when it comes to doing anything that's feature length or that's sustained humor, the right is no good at it.
Yeah. They're
very good at this because they sort of poke a little fun at themselves. So, what the hell is it called? I forget what the name of the movie is, but it's a pisser. You should definitely check it out.
I will. Thank you. If you
haven't already. Yeah, do.
Thank you. So, okay. All right. I'm losing my train of thought because that's what I do now at the age of 68. I'm terrible. I just, you know, I'm serious. I'm just terrible. I have a note here about the fact that, so there's an opinion piece on FoxNews.com about the fact that, and the guy's name is, it's Mike Lee, or I didn't write it down here. And he said, here's the deal. He says, there's a company in Sweden, they can't ask people about their political affiliations. So what they do ask is they ask people, what's your role model? Who, and other than your family, who in the public is your role model? And the amazing thing is most people can't answer the question.
Whoa.
Yeah. They said that the only real answer they get is Greta Thunberg. And that belt point, and yeah, okay, yeah, Don, you're reacting here. But the thing is, the reason they think that happens isn't because these people actually admire Greta Thunberg. It's the goal of most young people. Their dream job is to be an influencer online because everyone thinks that's really simple and you basically make a lot of money, right? And they admire her for doing that relatively quickly or at that young an age. It's not that they actually admire what she's doing. That's their theory anyway. But
well, look, I don't know if you guys were planning to talk about this.
We talk about anything you want.
Okay, I have problems with this recent law that the Republicans want to try and pass about the social media thing, and anybody under 16 is not allowed to use it. And it's like, wait a minute, aren't we the party of less government? I mean, I understand why they're doing it and what the motivations are, because social media is an absolute cancer on our young people. I get that. But somehow the idea of just saying, okay, you're going to do this thing, which we're going to have absolutely no way to enforce, and which we know that you're going to find some little workarounds to do, but we're going to have this law. It's like the war on drugs all over again, except now it's all about social media. And I don't know.
How are they going to enforce that?
That's my point.
And I understand the reason when parents are not being parents, at what point does the government have to step in? This social media thing for children is outrageous and out of control.
But for me, when parents aren't being parents, the government should never step in. The government should never take on that role.
I agree with you.
So, you know, if there's a breakdown, that's the pain that causes people to take the necessary action. But, you know, our Constitution does not give the government the authority to get involved in social and cultural issues. And, you know, there's way too much of that as it is.
I agree. It's out of control, and everybody's throwing their hands in the air and don't know what to do about it.
Well, the people throwing their hands in the air are all these people who says the government needs to do something, which is another way of saying, well, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to take action. I'm not going to be responsible. I'm not going to participate in a solution. I'm going to throw it over to somebody else to take care of.
Okay, hold on. Here's a hypothetical situation, not necessarily hypothetical. So does this apply to what you're talking about? What about schools that won't let kids bring their phones into class? Is that under the same type of deal or different?
I think it's different.
That's different. That's public. That's not something you're doing at home in your bedroom or your living room or whatever. And, you know, the schools do have the right to set up some rules. And that one, you know, makes sense. They're supposed to be paying attention in class. You know, if I came in my day, we didn't have cell phones and stuff, but if you were clever, you know, you could have a magazine in your world history book. You could sit there looking at the magazine instead of listening to somebody tell you what dates.
And 30 years later, Tim was at any Hustler.
Yes. Yeah, we slipped that one in your, you know, so, it, but the schools, that's a whole different thing. And that's a state issue, a state and local issue. Stay down. It's right. Not a federal issue. Education right. is not a federal issue. There shouldn't be a Department of Education. So that's a different world.
Well, I agree that this is a law that should not be passed by the state. This is not something the state should be involved in.
And speaking of laws that shouldn't be passed, I mean, let's get back to the border thing. So this deal that they're this supposed bipartisan thing they're coming up with. I mean, okay, so as far as I understand, the way this would work is it would legalize some of it, which is just the stupidest fucking absurd.
I'm so tired of them trying to find some sort of middle ground.
You right. know,
when you find middle ground for that person that lives in Finland who wants to emigrate here, then fine, I'll buy it. But you cannot extend something to someone who merely has the advantage of a shared border. It is that simple. It is literally that simple. If you're going to be fair, then be fair to everyone, irrespective of what side of a shared border they come from. But this, God, the Republicans are just stupid.
Yes, they are. I agree.
They are.
Well, how much money's in built into that bill? That's the whole question
we're right.
about everything.
That's right.
How much money is built into that bill? They're panicking because they're running out of time to get money into a bill to get spent to get it laundered and back into the hands of the politician for this fall's election.
So what's changed in society? Was it Trump? I mean,
Trump's changed society and politics.
Yes, because the thing is, you know, 10 years ago, I don't think there'd be that much uproar about this. You know, and that's the thing that they're trying to desperately to bring 10 years ago back. You know, it's like
as far as the money thing goes, and taking the money and passing it around. You've got to go back to the Clintons. They were the past masters of that, and their foundation, where they took in billions of dollars, and it's been laundered back to the DNC and to politicians on both sides of the aisle, anybody willing to take it. So when you see Republicans fighting, that's look at some of those old line politicians that's been around a long time. Republicans, and I'm talking about,
yeah,
and how much money have they taken? And these investigations that are following the money is making them nervous.
Yeah. Well, Langford from Louisiana, who's supposedly spearheading this negotiation, he says everyone's got this completely wrong, and everyone's pointing at him and saying, "No, you're just lying." You know, and yeah, it's like if you're an old guard rhino. You want and where's it? You don't want the gravy train to disappear, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, but well, you know, something that happened. What we're talking about is money circulating, you know, passing around in the circle. I read a book recently called "Masks in a Pageant," and it's an account of the presidents from right from Harrison. Like right after Grant, all the way up through Woodrow Wilson, and actually up to Calvin Coolidge. And what it also looks at the machine, New York machines, and the general, you know, Democratic and Republican committees, and who was involved there. And the book is more a personality examination of these people. It looks at their personalities and how that played into what happened during those times. But what Larry is talking about has been going on since at least that time. And the Republicans dominated the White House for all those years after the, you know, from Lincoln on. There were a few Democrats up in that period. This whole idea that, you know, you do favors for people and they get the votes out for you and you get elected and then, you know, the whole thing continues. It's what has gotten different is it's much more brazen. And the people who do it, the people who are involved in politics, are so accustomed to that being the way things work, the way of their world,
yeah,
that they just don't think, they think that, well, this is the way it is, and everybody knows that.
Well, they look around and they think, well, what happened? You know, that's the thing. They can't figure out what's happened. You know, how come all this, you know, how come it changed all of a sudden? You know,
well, it's been changing for a while, but the aspect of it that has changed is the rapidity of the way the stupidity has just been. Nobody expected ever to be talking about this business about men being women, vice versa. But enter the internet and COVID, and all of a sudden, within 2 years, you have this very rapid shift of stupidity, this incredible lack of logic. All of these things that were once jokes are suddenly reality. And I think that is what has been the most surprising to me. And the only answer for me is it's a combination of what Obama started. Trump tried to halt. He did for a little while and then entered COVID and Floyd. The law offices of COVID and Floyd came and changed everything and the way that people thought. And so that Orwellian thought of anything being so absurd that only an intellectual could believe it, this is all coming now to fruition because our entire country is now back in college. And by that, what I mean is that remember that college is a time where you start to just spew garbage and garbage and garbage, and you try to be as convincing about it as possible to the point where you actually start to believe your own nonsense. And so now we've got an entire nation. Oh, no, we've got half of a nation that is back in college. The rest of us are working, but the rest of the nation is back in college spewing all the stuff that you would hear in university cafeterias all over the place that 10 years after, you know, you sit and laugh about the stupid things you used to say. Now, I don't know what our 10 years is going to be. Our 10 years might take about 50 or 60. But all I know is that the next election is pretty much going to decide how long that period is.
That was this next election, let's take the truckers convoy to the border. So how does that get twisted around to a riot and a reason for Biden to say, okay, half the country is MAGA and they are a threat to this country, and so we're going to suspend elections.
Well, go ahead, Don.
No. I was just, you know, kind of sadly agreeing with Larry, because I mean that's we can no longer say that the impossible is impossible.
Yes, that's well put. I actually think in your little previous diatribe there, that was a great quote you said, that we're all back in college, and you're absolutely right. That's what's going on here. You know, it's the ridiculousness of that, and it bears mentioning, even though this is master of the obvious shit, that this all happened basically in 3 years, you know. That's, I mean, yes, Tim.
Oh well, I think all this stuff has a longer spin than just the 3 years, just the Biden period. You know, certain events have come up during that time, but you know, I think if the federal government tried to suspend elections. In the first place, there are no federal elections. The elections are held by the states. They're state to state. So the federal government, to try to tell
has
the
that
states,
stopped them from anything else?
Oh, I know. But that would be a real tipping point. I mean, that would really push the cart over, and we would be putting the manure before the horse, or however that saying goes. The states would refuse to go along with that. And then we would have this, big test of it. And again, how is the federal government going to enforce that? This is my thing about the federal government is it's too big. It's assumed powers that it doesn't really have, the powers that it was never given. And, at what point do they push beyond that this lack of authority and do that one thing that causes everybody to stand up and say that's enough? The federal government is supposed to serve the states. It is not supposed to rule the country. Something that we've never even been, it's never even been taught that way. But if you look at the Constitution, that's the way it's set up.
So does the executive branch have the authority to say, I don't like this law, so I'm not going to enforce it? That's what's happening on the southern border right now.
Oh, wow.
So if their control and their power to pick and choose what laws they want to enforce and not enforce and the rules that they want to implement that are not there, there's just a lot of things out there that's possibilities, and you have to be prepared, even though they sound like they're conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. but you better be prepared and have them thought out and hope that they never happen.
You mean all those conspiracy theories that have come true so far? You mean those?
Yeah. I'll tell you when the real problem started. We're talking about when all this started, the escalator ride. When they came down the escalator, Washington went nuts because they knew this man and they knew he couldn't be bought. And they knew that everything that they'd been doing that was crooked is going to come out. And they immediately, all of the people that were his buddies and his friends and everything else, politicians, celebrities, everything immediately turned on him because they knew what this man was going to do. There he was going to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, but there's an interesting twist to that, too, and that is they truly didn't think he was going to win.
They had it all set up. They
2 weeks.
The ballots were all counted and ready, and Hillary thought she had enough ballot stuff to make it, and they didn't expect him to get that many votes, and she lost anyway.
That was
a classic election night. Just the look on her face was she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
We had them stuffed to the point we were going to win.
Does anybody anywhere have access to any kind of video or recording of Hillary ranting that night? I mean, can you imagine the stuff that must have been coming out of her mouth? You know what all the folks on the left there were saying is that somebody's got to fix this. Now, imagine somebody in a position of power, somebody who's a former senator, somebody who knows something about the way Washington worked, actually even uttering that phrase. Somebody needs to fix this because you can only fix things that are fixable. You take a piece of wood that's been snapped in half. Well, I mean, yeah, you can fix it there, but there are certain things that you cannot fix once they're broken. And that's the part of the aftermath of that election that really is kind of chilling, that people were going around saying, somebody's got to fix this. Well, they had a few years to fix it, and
they
by
did.
Golly,
and they
with
did.
The help of Fauci, they did.
Well, yeah. I had a friend, and I don't know if I've told the story before.
You have friends? Holy, that's pretty cool.
I have a friend. Yeah. A friend, yes. I have a friend who was a poll watcher in Georgia. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, they told all of the poll watchers they had to leave. And while all the poll watchers were walking out of the room, they were uncovering the table covers, table cloth covers. They were pulling them up and sliding dozens of boxes out from under the tables to count after everybody left the room.
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys been following what's been going on in Bridgeport, Connecticut?
Yes. Oh. Yes, what was it? Mrs. Zorro told me about it. What it is.
Well, so this is where it's at right now. A judge, they've redone this election now 3 times because they keep catching the incumbent mayor and his staff stuffing ballot boxes on video. These people apparently really stupid. And it's like, so the judges ordered the election to be redone. The amazing thing is this guy who's the mayor there, he was mayor for like 15 years. Then he got thrown in prison for embezzling money from the city. And the incredible thing is he got out of prison and supposedly they reelected him again. Now, maybe they really did. I don't know. But this whole thing, it is just a poster child for corruption. I mean, they can't get rid of this guy. They've done everything.
The guy that was testified in court and with a pen logged into the Dominion voting and changed votes right there in the courtroom.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. I know. Now,
and
now,
who owns Dominion?
We got now, Mister. We're going to give Mister. Conaway his speaking time here because he feels very strongly that that elections are not necessarily cheated per se. I'm going to preface this by saying I think that's true in Minnesota, maybe not other places. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, well, I think it's hard to impact, you know, a local city election. You know, that's one thing. And these people are getting caught because they're obviously doing, you know, what they're getting video doing this stuff. But I say that to manufacture enough votes to, you know, thousands of votes to change the outcome of the election is extremely difficult. It would have to be pulled off, you know, like an Ocean's 11 kind of heist with that kind of precision and all those kind of quality players. And that's not what you've got in this political world. So, you know, there's always going to be people who try to cheat on these things. There's always going to be stuff that happens, but I think that to manipulate it by thousands of votes it's possible, but not in the hands of the people who do this kind of thing. There is a big push to get rid of the Electoral College in terms of, you know, declaring the president and have the outcome of the national vote. Now, there is no, or the popular vote, they call it, the popular vote. But that's not how it works. It's a state-by-state kind of thing. Also, the Electoral College is set up in the Constitution, so to change that or to get rid of it, you would have to do a constitutional amendment to make that effective. But, you know, they say that Hillary won the popular vote. She just didn't win the other, you know, the state-by-state vote, where you get awarded the Electoral College, number of Electoral College people for each state. And then when you add all that up, that determines the outcome. But the reason we have the Electoral College, the reason the Founding Fathers put that in there, is because they know that larger states, and when this was set up, it was mostly agriculture in this country, but there were manufacturing states, there were States on the coast that were, seaport states, that kind of stuff. They know that these more populous states could swing an election if you just count their votes. If you took all the votes and put them together instead of winning it state by state. So that, to me, is a more critical and a more viable way to ruin the presidential elections is to do away with the Electoral College.
I totally agree. And this is well worth pointing out, because I have liberal friends who say this to me all the time, that there's no point to it. When you're right, Tim, in 1792, when they enacted the Constitution, there were 13 states in the United States. There were 15 million people. There were only two major cities, New York and Boston. And what the Founding Fathers were trying to avoid is they didn't want somebody to become so popular in New York that he could be a locally elected president and people in the rest of the country wouldn't even know who he was. That's what they were trying to allow. And this goes on to this day. For 2,000 years, even the freaking Romans knew, they figured out that the more population density you have in a place, the more liberal people tend to be. And nobody knows why this really is. There's theories, but...
Yeah, there are theories. That book that I read, Masked Sin of Pageant, by James Allen White, he goes into that, too, that the bigger cities... The liberals have better machines.
There's more of them.
That's what it came down to. New York, the Tammany, the whole thing, in Chicago, any of the big cities have a much better, the liberals operate a much better machine because of the way that it works. And it's very interesting, his description of how these machines work.
And also, let's not forget that in these larger cities, this is where all of your universities are.
This is
where people go to be influenced by the absurd.
Yeah.
I won't even say leftist or liberal, but just by the absurd. You get people in enough power, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to turn these young minds into thinkers like them.
And Don, a perfect example of that is Texas. You got a whole state that's Republican, except for the city of Austin, which is extremely liberal. It has nothing to do with the rest of the state at all. And so, it's just kind of crazy.
Well, Dallas-Fort Worth has kind of turned that way, haven't they?
Say again what?
Dallas-Fort Worth area has become very much a left area.
Dallas, Fort Worth is like the opposite of Dallas. It's an interesting little line down there. But, and Austin is also the state capital where you have the headquarters of a lot of state-based companies. So you've got all these corporate types involved. And, that also... tends to swing it. Now, Jim, on your list, do you have anything about the UN? And
about the UN? Did you say
UN and their RWA, which I should have written down what that stands for. There's this whole wing of the UN. The UN is it's a useless body. But there's the UN itself, and then they've got around 30 of these different little agencies and bureaus within to do that. Well, there's one that has something to do with the affairs in the Middle East. Well, it was on Comp News today, the best news aggregator on the web. There were several links to this story, Breitbart and 100% Fed Up and Hot Air and National Review, I believe, is another one I read. Anyway, 12 members of this UN agency participated directly in the Hamas October 7th insurrection. I'm going to call that one an insurrection. And in including, providing ammunition, actually rounding up Jews, the Jewish women who were raped, and like another 1,000 people in this bureau were also identified as Hamas sympathizers. And, we give money to the UN and we give money to each one of these little bureaus. We spend about almost $3.5 billion to prop up the UN. And then we spend about another $9 billion spread out to all these other agencies. And what really interested me today in these stories were these people, the UN saying, well, gosh, don't take away our funding because of this, because, you know, the rest of these hardworking people, we're doing a lot of good for the residents of Gaza and all that kind of. UN has never done anything for anybody.
Well, hold it, Tim. I kind of have to disagree with you there, because, you know, the UN has said they can solve climate change if we give them $75 trillion. They've said this. You know?
Well, and I know, and they say a lot, and that's, you know, this thing, you're just reading the quotes from all these people trying to save their ass, but to me, that's one of the first things to go in my administration is the UN.
And for those of you watching, I do have to point out, that's actually true, what I said. That's not exaggeration. They said they can sell
$75 trillion, and I will guarantee you the sun will come up tomorrow.
And no, stakes for everybody.
I'm gonna totally call BS on your story, because I actually know what the $75 trillion is for. It's what I understand is that it is the down payment on actually creating a Death Star.
We need
a Death Star, and this is the down payment. I can get this done. I know a guy. This is what we need.
I know you know guys. I know that. We need a Dyson sphere. We can build a sphere around the sun. That's what we with that $75 trillion will be a good start to that. So
what is this now?
A Dyson sphere is if you built a you build a sphere around a star, and then the sphere is made out of solar panels, so you turn the whole star into electricity. That's the theory. So there's supposedly extraterrestrials that are doing that. I don't know.
If they're doing it, then we need to step up our game.
Yeah, well,
where the hell are the extraterrestrials? We need a good intergalactic war right now.
Well, yeah.
Just to get our minds off of everything.
You don't watch the show. I've been saying for quite a while, it's a false flag operation. They're going to say we need $17 trillion to fight the ETs, and we won't, but they'll say that.
Have you guys ever seen a movie called The Lathe of Heaven? Have I brought this up before?
No, I don't know if you have.
The Lathe of Heaven is a wonderful movie that came out in the 70s, in the late 70s. And it basically is about this guy who has these dreams, and the dreams wind up coming true. He goes to the scientist, psychologist guy who realizes this guy has this ability. So he decides to change the world for good. And every time he tries to control this guy's dreams, it completely goes sideways. and it, like at one point, he wants world peace. And so the guy winds up dreaming an invasion from Mars or whatever. So the entire planet bands together to fight the Martians.
Yeah.
And the guy, he wakes him up. What the hell did you dream? What the hell did you dream? And he wants to dream away race problems so everybody turns purple.
Is this why Congress is having hearings now on the spacecraft and the aliens and giving legitimacy to that? Is that why they're doing that?
Well, I'm buying preparing tickets as soon as I can.
Well, there's some people who think that, Larry. Yeah, that they're and the goal is actually to get money out of us. That's what some people think. They're gonna, you know,
that's the root of everything.
Of everything, right, yeah. That's the reason they're doing it, so I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Although these hearings seem to be coming to no fruition at all, but whatever. I mean, I kind of follow this.
Hey, I know what I was going to ask you guys. So do you think that this whole thing to impeach Mayorkas is going to gain any traction whatsoever, or is this just going to be another waste of time?
Well, can I bring this up? Even if it does, it doesn't really matter because Mayorkas is not driving this boat. I mean, I think they've told him, you just stay the course here. We'll cover your ass. That's what I think they've told him. I don't think he has anything really to do with this.
There comes a point where they won't be able to cover what the
president tells him to do.
What did you say, Lair?
I said, Mayorkas is just doing what his boss is telling him.
Right. That's what I think, too. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And he doesn't have the cojones to stand up and say, no, that's illegal and I'm not going to do it. He just goes along.
He doesn't.
Money there.
Hey, speaking of that, you guys are familiar with this Terry Lake phone call that happened in Arizona? About the
Does
fact
it have anything to do with cojones?
Well, kind of, because the thing is somebody apparently, unnamed people were trying to bribe her to stay out of the Senate race, you know, and the head of the Arizona GOP lost his job because of this. Now,
so
you know,
he's
got a little bit of a point, and oh my God, I got a light that just went out. Holy shit. Now I look less beautiful. he said, I was just the messenger. I wasn't actually bribing her. And that might be, you know, if you heard the phone call, I listened to the whole thing. You could make that argument. I don't know. Am I naive? Tell me I'm naive, Don.
I don't know. Tim, I don't know. I mean, my only campaign that I ran, I had people coming to me, offering me all kinds of deals if I would drop out. So maybe that's something that's normal.
Hold it, Larry. Did that really happen to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure.
Yeah,
I was offered some really nice jobs if I would drop out of the race, the political race I was in when I ran for sheriff. Yeah.
You were a threat, apparently.
That's typical on the local level, even more so than on the national level. But yeah, it's typical for people to step aside for whatever reason. And, you know, usually this happens out of the range of microphones and cameras.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're dumb enough to do it over the telephone, you know, and that's where we're at. Because, again, these people are so blatant in their corruption that they just feel like, oh, this is normal. They don't feel like it's wrong or it's against the law or it's bad form. They feel, oh, it's like a normal thing. So, you know, why do I have to do it in the back room?
Well, Tim, I got to point out that I got to thank you for pointing out my own naivety to me, because for the longest time I was saying that some Democrat was paying Chris Christie to run for president because all he was doing is bashing Trump. And then you said, no, it's a Republican. And holy shit, you're right. It's like, I did not put that together. There were some Republicans paid him to run for president. It's like, because his entire campaign was just about bashing Trump. He didn't offer anything else at all.
Does it bother anybody here, the colossal waste of money when these people raise these millions upon hundreds of millions, and then, you know, they just bail sort of in the middle of what they're doing? You know, this, it just, every time I see these figures of what these people raise and then don't win or even come close to winning, I just think of any number of organizations that probably could have benefited from that kind of loose change.
Yeah.
It just bothers me.
Well, hey, Tim, you know about this. Let me ask Tim really quick. If you can, on a federal level, if you're running for office, you can keep whatever you don't actually spend for your campaign, right?
Yeah. You can. There's a process to transfer it and, you know, the taxes are paid, that kind of thing. But yeah, you can end up keeping it.
I don't mind that because I know he's going to take us out to a nice Mexican dinner.
A few places.
Yeah, I'll fly in for that one.
Yeah. The real problem is, though, with what Don Soro is saying is, if you, one of these politicians, and they're so tiresome, We've had them around for so long. They're so useless. And yet they stand up and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And there's this machine of people. There's this group of people who do nothing but work the phones and work the emails and work the texts and work it to get money for this person. Because you cannot win an election. You have to buy an election. And they work tirelessly for them. And most of them, a lot of these people on the phones and stuff are volunteers. They're not getting paid anything out of this kind of stuff. And people will cough this money up. I don't understand why people cough this money up to these jokers. You know, it's just like a carny sideshow game, you know, rigged game. But if you have the same number of people calling up and emailing, you know, and soliciting donations for the worthy causes that you're talking about, people would hang up on it. You know, that I work with a charitable organization, a community service organization, and getting donations from people is really, really tough. Getting people to support us, we do fundraisers, and we have other activities that we do to bring in money. But, you know, we have a donate button on our website, and everything that we do, we're sending people to our website to find out more of our events. Donate button, and it's just like pennies come in.
That must have been my mistake, because I funded my own campaign out of my pocket. So,
yeah, there you go. No, don't do that.
Seriously, Larry, you must have been a real threat to people if you got offered those things. I mean, they didn't want you. You couldn't be bought, I guess.
No, not really. But
they wanted somebody they could buy.
Well, and that's what they got in the end. Yes.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's the thing. Good doesn't always win. It's terrible, but it's true. You know. Hey, I want to move on here, because this is kind of related to the whole E.G. Carroll thing. Like, so, like, this is, there's no evidence that this act happened at all. Absolutely none. Right. This is like,
well,
the,
which is why she had to go to civil court.
Yeah, yeah. And also, it's also kind of like the Christine Blasey Ford thing with Kavanaugh. It's like, she can't even remember what year it happened. I mean, it's like, this is nuts. And I'm so pissed off about this, because $83 million. And also, guys, you got to understand, that award is not for the actual supposed crime, or whatever you want to call it, assault. That's for him as president saying that she was crazy. So her legal argument is that because he's president, it holds way more weight than an average person. So she defamed him. That's the argument. So he is being, you know, fined $83 million for expressing his opinion. I mean, it's just like, this is the craziest shit ever.
There's a fine line between expressing your opinion and defaming someone. I mean, you know, I suppose she could certainly have a lawsuit if somehow this did her harm. But my point is that the bitch is crazy. Have you looked at some of the videotapes,
right,
stuff from the 90s?
Right.
I finally started watching it, and she's like Shirley MacLaine and Joy Behar.
I agree.
That, she's nuts.
Yeah.
Certifiable.
Yeah. Well, so this is my theory, and this is with Blasey Ford too. I think that the Democratic Party like has a database of people that they just say, well, look, we need you to, and it's almost always women, if you notice this, almost always women. They say, look, we need you to step up for the good of your country and actually, you know, do this. It's completely false. They kind of, you know, offer some sort of perfunctory support or whatever, and maybe sometimes some money, you know, maybe not, because, I mean, it was Operation Nightingale with the press in the 1970s. There are people who did that. They didn't even take the money. They just said, oh, I'm doing it for the good of my country. I'm not even going to take the money. And I think they just get these crazy women to do this, you know. But why
wasn't she wasn't she just on either CNN or MSNBC saying out loud and quotably that it said, I have to do everything that I can to stop him from running?
Yeah, I think she did.
I mean, that there was a quote that, to me, it's I had to see it several times on different sorts of things to see if it was chopped up or something. But no, she literally said this within the last, within the last couple of weeks.
And then you, on the top of that, they passed this law in New York to give a one-time exception of a statute of limitations. Why? Geez, I don't know. Because somebody was running for president. Is that the reason? Yeah. It's like, I mean, this is, you cannot come up with a more bogus. And I don't understand. Well, maybe I guess
that's why people across this country are starting to turn them off, because it is so outrageous. It is so ridiculous that the common man out here can see it, and they're starting to say, I'm done with that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Larry.
Yep.
They're not even trying to hide it anymore, you know?
I mean, this takes us full circle to what we were talking about earlier with the with the media outlets. Hence my comment, my question about who's doing well. But, you know, as Jeff would say, you know, the Zorroisms are in great effect. What I said was originally chinks in the armor that were turning into cracks. Well, now we've got the armor just falling off.
Yeah.
Because now you've got, in addition to the blacks and Latinos that are turned off from the Democrats, now you've got all of the Jews in the country that are suddenly starting to watch Fox. Why? Because it's the only place where they can see things reported about Israel and the atrocities and all of this maniacal behavior. It's the only place they can find it.
Well, look how many people in Iowa and New Hampshire, how many Democrats turned out for Nikki Haley?
Oh, this, we have to point this out, Larry. In New Hampshire, 70% of the people that voted for Nikki Haley, according to the exit polls, were Democrats. 70%.
Really?
So if you take those people out of the if you separate them out of her totals, she only got about 15% of the vote.
So let's analyze that. So were all of the 70% of the votes she got were Democrats? Were they coming to vote for a Republican because they can't stand the Democratic candidate, or were they Democrats that want the Democrat to win, so they come try to get her to run against Biden? I don't know. I mean, that's the question that was never asked.
Yes, that's true.
But
all of the above.
What would be your guess?
I think they were trying to help her fight. The Democrats don't want Trump. They don't want Trump because he's going to get to the bottom of all the corruption.
Right. That's what I think,
Nikki
too.
Nikki Haley, maybe she's great. But Nikki Haley is a politician and has been a politician for years and years and years.
Yeah. Unlike Jim Conaway. Yeah, go ahead, Don.
No, I thought that, unlike Jim Conaway. I thought at the job that she was given, which was to be our ambassador to the UN, I liked her because she was tough. She wasn't taking any crap. And she was calling it the way it was. And I like that. I think that's what an ambassador has to do. Yes, an ambassador has to be able to negotiate. But who are we negotiating? This is, we're talking about the UN.
Yeah.
The most powerless piece of crap on that. So if you're able to say, well, I can really help lead and negotiate the UN, I'm going, yes, so what?
Yeah.
So my dad was a fireman. I give whatever. See who did more good.
Yeah, ambassadors around the world are supposed to look out for U.S. business interests and help us, get in the door, help us get deals, help us do that things. It's there's some of it that you're dealing with the political side of things, but mostly you're trying to get business for us. At the UN, all they're trying to do is get our money. We get nothing back, not anything at all. So Yeah, that, I think anybody could be the ambassador to the UN, you know, because you don't.
I'm one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those people that do not believe that you need a politician as the executor of our country.
Yeah,
the executive in chief needs to be a business person who knows how to take the laws that Congress passed and implement them and get them done as the way they're intended. It's
that's
not
where,
a political job. It's
no,
not,
Larry, that's where Trump's popularity comes from, isn't it? He wasn't a politician.
Exactly.
Right. And also the fact, you know, if you're just talking about executing the laws, the job isn't that difficult to figure out. I mean, it may be difficult to execute, you know, because you got, there's a lot of, pots in the road, but I mean, it's like, really, you don't have to be in the Senate for 35 years to actually figure out how the Senate works. I mean, you don't.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the president is a business manager, just like you're saying, and you've got, you know, all these departments and you've got to take care of things. One of the things that has come up, and there's going to be, unfortunately, it won't be until like June that we see it from the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court a few years ago decided that the executive branch and the departments and, you know, all these departments and all these agencies have the right to work out the details of what Congress intended by some of these laws, because Congress is too lazy and stupid to actually spell out what the work is supposed to be in the laws. And that was the Chevron versus the United States, or Chevron versus somebody. And so there's a case that was heard recently. Some fishermen, the New England, or off the East Coast of the U.S., were, you know, they're subject to all these rules and regulations, most of which weren't spelled out by Congress. They were spelled out by the department. Once a month or once every 2 months, they've got to have these inspectors on board, and they are charged. They have to pay the $700 a day fee for these inspectors, who usually take 3 or 4 days to conduct their inspection and go out on the boat. So these guys are getting paid government wages, which are pretty nice. Government wages are way above average for the rest of the country for doing the same kind of work. And then they charge the fishermen on top of that. So the fishermen have fought this all the way up, and it was finally heard by the Supreme Court. And the gist of it, whatever ruling they give, could be that these departments cannot make up all the rules that they're making up.
Yeah.
And that's where a real problem comes in. If Congress wants certain things done, they need to spell it out what they want.
It's basically legislation through regulation is basically what it is.
A 5,000-page bill, you have to pass it to find out what's in it.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, and that's
don't get me started on that. That's ridiculous.
What I call the turducken laws, these bills, you know, where you take a boneless chicken and you stuff it in a boneless duck and you stuff it in a turkey. You know, they've got all kinds of stuff in these laws that have nothing to do with the main intention of the law.
Right.
And, you know, they come up with it 2 days before the federal government's going to shut down. So if you don't vote for it, and nobody's got time to read it in 2 days, so you got all that kind of stuff. But having read some of these laws, the laws are so vague, you know, it's our intention to, and it's, you know, it's like these mission statements that, you know, we empower the employees to enhance the deliverability of the paradigm. You know, that it doesn't spell out anything. And that would be something that, as an executive, you have to say to Congress, this law, I'm going to veto this law because it's too vague. We cannot carry this out. You tell us what it is you want, we'll carry it out. But this, if you leave it up, you know, this vague, we're going to have to come up with the rules and regulations, and that's not our job. That's not in the Constitution. So I'm very interested to see what this court, how this court handles this case and what they come up with. Because every, I mean, you know, the White House is declaring, you know, we can't have gas stoves and we can't have ceiling fans and we can't have certain washers. And it's like, you don't have the right to tell us that. And
that's right.
You know, there's a law saying, well, we have to reduce emissions. Well, you got to tell us a little bit, give us a little bit more detail than that. If you leave it up to the government to make it up, they're going to make it up in such a way that a lot of people are going to get fined, or a lot of people are going to have to pay the inspector, or a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to come up with a way to get money out of it.
Well, I'm familiar with the whole thing with the fishermen, Tim, and the problem, well, the pragmatic problem is that the $700 they have to pay this damn regulator is basically the difference between them making a profit and a loss. You know, going to put most of these fishermen out of business.
If it was $70 a day or $7 a day, they should. These guys are getting paid by the government.
Yeah,
the fishermen shouldn't have it. If you've got OSHA regulators, I've been, you know, in a lot of workplaces that OSHA, you know, comes in, and if we'd had to pay the OSHA guy $700 a day, I've never heard of such a thing. It's absolutely ridiculous, but. You know, look at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and, you know, Department of Agriculture, sending out people to inspect food processing plants, which apparently they don't do often enough or well enough. But, you know, are they paying these people $700 or $1,000 or $500 a day?
Yeah.
You know, it's just outrageous.
What we need is the clear thinking of basically just the gentleman farmer. And if I may, I'd like to give an example of all of clear thinking, honesty, and logic. I was once on a road trip down in Iowa, didn't have any water in the car. I was incredibly thirsty, saw this farmhouse, and I pulled in and I said, hey, listen, I'm just traveling on down the road, but there's not going to be a store for many, many, many miles. Can I just sit and get a glass of water? And the guy was very nice. He invited me to sit and have a little lemonade with him. So we're just shooting the breeze. Up walks this three-legged pig. And I'm going, what's with the pig? And he says, oh, that's Wilbur. He said, yeah, okay, so that's Wilbur. Oh, well, what's with the three legs? He says, well, that's the most incredible pig in the world. I said, well, what's so incredible about him? And so he proceeds to tell me that one time his son was up in a tree where he had asked him not to climb, and he climbs up and, of course, goes too high, starts hanging by his hands like this. Old Wilbur jumps out of the pen, goes underneath, and just as the kid falls, he lands on top of the pig, saves his life. And I said, well, that's amazing, but what about the three legs? And he said, no, well, that's nothing. Says, you know, I told my daughter not to go swimming in that swimming hole when it gets too cold. She's going to get a cramp. Well, sure enough, she goes in there. She gets a cramp. I was working in the field. I couldn't get to her. And so old Wilbur heard her splashing around, jumps out of the pen, goes, grabs her by the scruff of the neck, pulls her to the shore. And I said, this is unbelievable. I said, but what about the three legs? And he says, I'm getting to that. And he said, last week, the gas, we developed a leak, but we couldn't smell it. We were all asleep. Well, Wilbur smelled it, goes into this little hole. We have a little hole cut out for him. He goes in, he bites me out the leg, wakes me up. I get the family out, and we fix the gas leak. And I said, look, these are the most incredible stories I've ever heard, but what about the three legs? And he says, look, a pig like that, you don't eat them all at once.
Okay. Hey, Larry's going to high five you.
It takes a farmer. It takes a farmer to figure out how to do things honestly, methodically.
Oh, Conaway is physically confused. The high five again. There we go. And I tell you what, guys, with that, let's leave it, okay? We've been on for 90 minutes, and I think that's good. I know that there's a lot of people who do these podcasts, these shows for hours, and I don't. It's not even that I can't do it. I don't understand why. You know, I mean, my shows are getting longer and longer. It's starting to actually bother me. I don't know if anybody wants to watch that long, but
oh, my bladder is getting smaller.
Well, I learned many years ago, people's attention span is about an hour, and after that, you lose them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's exactly true. So I was gonna dismiss you guys to make final remarks. I'm not going to. I'm just gonna do while you're here. Thank you to Tim Conaway. Thank you to Larry Newman. Thank you to Don Zero. I like the lighting, especially Don. That's good. You look very, very, very romantic. It's very, very cool. Okay, so we are going to take a week off, except for this coming Friday. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you guys to help me. I'm not going to get into the details right now. But we're going to do a little show on Friday because we're testing out some new technology. So it's going to be a show with no guests, nothing like that. I'm going to encourage people to call in. And we'll get some stuff figured out. But other than that, we're coming back on Tuesday, February 6th. So just want to point out, gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for doing this. Now we're going to do this on the last Monday of every month. So if people like this, and we got, you know, for our Halloween episode, we got really some very nice viewership. So that was kind of cool. So I think maybe it's you guys. I think it's because you're so handsome and young. And I'm not. Okay. All right. So, you know, here's my sign-off. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, everybody, wherever you are. Thanks, gentlemen. You guys have a nice week, and I will see you soon. Take care.